May I speak in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please do be seated. We stand for the Gospel reading because we have the words of Jesus. The Old Testament, we seem to have sometimes the stumbling around in the darkness and trying to make sense of God. And the latter part of the New Testament, some of the commentary on his life and the church struggling to make sense of it. But in the Gospel readings, we have the light of Christ, which illuminates and teaches us about the mind of God and what the world to come will be like. And so we treat it with the degree of seriousness that it deserves. And in our reading today, Jesus tells a parable about the kingdom. It's worth just trying to understand a little bit about the time that Jesus taught this and what he was talking about when he talked about these labourers and giving them a denarius. A denarius was a basic subsistence level of pay for a day worker. If you worked in the fields for a day and you got a denarius, you could just about manage to survive. It wasn't a lot of money. Some people have read this parable in terms of Jesus talking about labourers' wages and all that kind of stuff. And that's important. Absolutely it is. In Leviticus and Deuteronomy, it talked about how important it was to look after the poor people. When you harvested your field, you're supposed to leave a margin around the outside so that poor people could come and gather some of the wheat. And when you went and collected your grapes, you're supposed to go through and collect the grapes, but not go back a second time to see if you'd missed any, because they were for poor people to grab hold of, because God was concerned about the poor people. And certainly in Jesus' first sermon at Nazareth, you see this concern for the poor, that God is on the side of the poor. And in Leviticus and Deuteronomy, again, it says that when you've got a day worker, you pay him his wages at the end of the day. You don't leave it until the following day, because he needs his wages to survive. So he doesn't have to go and get a payday loan. You know, you give him the money after he's done his work. And so this is important to God. It's important teaching. Jesus is concerned about how much people are paid. I notice in the front page of some of the newspapers today, it's about Mr. Miliband's talking about the living wage. Have you seen that? He's saying it should go to £8. £8 the living wage. I did a check. The minimum wage currently is £6.31. And the living wage is £7.65. So by my reckoning, tell me if I've got this wrong, but £7.65 to £8, that's 35p, yeah? And it's got to be introduced by 2020. So is Mr. Miliband talking about 35 pence increase between now... Oh, he's talking about the minimum wage. That's okay then, because that means it goes up by £1.69. Over the next five years. That's it, you've got it. You've got it, Richard. Well done. Look, the problem with the living wage, of course, is that as you introduce the living wage, people who are paid a little bit more than the minimum wage because they've got some responsibility or something, they say, well, hold on, they're being bumped up to us because they're getting the living wage as well. So when you pay someone the living wage, everybody wants their wage bumping up again. And you can understand why people feel like that. They say, well, look, I've been working here for 2 years, so I'm not getting the minimum wage anymore. I'm getting a little bit of an increase. So if you introduce the living wage, we're all going to get the same. So I'm not going to get that bonus that I deserve because I've got a bit more responsibility or I've worked a little bit longer. That's exactly what was happening at the time of Jesus in this parable, because people who were coming and only working for a few hours were getting paid the same as the people who had been working there all day, and they were resentful and they were bitter. So it's exactly the same problem that Jesus was talking about as we have today when we're talking about introducing the living wage. People resenting what other people got. It's not that they weren't getting what they were promised and contracted to do. They were a bit jealous that some people were getting perhaps what they thought they hadn't earned. And looking at others and thinking that they weren't perhaps up to what we were up to. This is really important when it comes to talking about the heaven, isn't it? Because quite often we look around us and say, oh, well, God will want people like me in his kingdom, but he won't want people like them in his kingdom. And what the parable's teaching is, in a very subtle sort of way, is that it's no good looking around you at other people and judging what they're worth. It's about God treating all people equally and God being concerned about our needs. And who's in and who's out is a very interesting question. But I think the point that Jesus so often makes is when we eventually get to God's kingdom, we sit around the banqueting table, we'll be very surprised at who's sitting next to us. We'd be very surprised, because we might think that they shouldn't be there. They perhaps hadn't earned it. Anyway, So Jesus is concerned about the poor. Jesus is concerned about wages. But there's other things going on as well. At the time of Jesus, Jewish teachers taught that the Jews who'd been working in the vineyard for a long time would be rewarded by God, unlike the Gentiles who were only kind of like latecomers. And Jesus takes this teaching at the time and changes it and says, no, you're wrong. You're wrong. It's not about the fact that you're Jewish people and you've been here a long, long time and you've been working through all this. God is treating all people the same. So Jesus taking teaching that they knew and making it mean something very, very different. So you've got a teaching which runs throughout, and it's slightly unfair, I suppose people would say, slightly unfair. But it runs throughout his teaching. You think of the parable of the prodigal son. It's actually the parable of the resentful son who resents one son getting what he thinks he didn't deserve. And when you think of Jesus' teaching about the first and the last, in a few sentences further on from here, we get the teaching about James and John, and the pushy mother comes to Jesus and says, can James and John be sat on your left and your right and have positions of power? And Jesus says, oh, you got it all wrong. It's not like that. If you want to really look for God's approval, then don't try to seek positions of power. Seek to be a servant. And it's the ones who serve are the ones that really are doing God's will. And Jesus tries to live that out in his own life, doesn't he? By washing the feet of his disciples. So Jesus becomes the servant of all. So it's a model set out for us, not of seeking prestige and honour and trying to achieve things, because we can't ever achieve glory in God's sight. We can't ever kind of earn it. We all fall short. We've just got to try and serve. And it goes against the grain of what we know as humanly speaking, where we think of VIPs, don't we? Very important people. And we judge who very important people are. And they're people of great prestige, people who've got to the top, people who are important. And Jesus he's not just saying really that there's no VIPs. He's saying the very important people are the ones who serve. These, if you want to be the greatest, you've got to be the least. You've got to be willing to really put yourself at the service of others. This is the teaching of Jesus, and it runs contrary to what we all know. But it's very important, just to finish, it's very important to say that Jesus says at the beginning of his teaching, this is what the kingdom of heaven is like. Now, that's not just thinking about the future, what it's going to be like when we get to the great banqueting table or the pearly gates and all that kind of stuff. The kingdom starts now. And what Jesus wants from his disciples is not for us to say, well, one day I'll be the servant of all, or one day I won't be jealous and envious of what other people have got. These standards are things that we should have in our lives now and be trying to cultivate. This is what Jesus wants us to do, so that we've got to be people who are now servants, people who are now not envious or jealous or thinking, well, God isn't just because he's treating that person who I don't like fairly. So the changes start now as we try to lead lives which are devoted to God but not seeking some kind of extra reward. And I've got a prayer which we'll open our prayers with, which is from Ignatius of Loyola in the 16th century, which I think sums up this reading quite nicely. We'll include it in the prayers, but I'll read it to you now. It says, teach us, good Lord, to serve you as you deserve, to give and not to count the cost, to fight and not to heed the wounds, to toil and not to seek for rest, and to labour and not to ask for any reward, save that of knowing that we do your will. Now, I think that prayer sums up quite beautifully a lot of the teaching in this little passage of Jesus. It's not doing stuff thinking, what am I going to get out of it? But recognising that in service of God, that's reward in itself.